watch one of the greatest tag team rivalries in the history of professional wrestling, in my opinion. In 1984, the Rock and Roll Express and Midnight Express, along with Jim Cornette, were the hottest act going. Whether they wrestled in Mid-South, Houston, Texas, Charlotte, Smoky Mountain Wrestling, wherever they went, they had this aura. And I'm talking about both teams, the Rock and Roll Express and Midnight Express. But in this particular match, in Houston, Texas, 1984, this was at the peak of the Mid-South Rock and Roll Express versus Midnight Express rivalry. We're going to go to Houston, Texas, as the Midnight Express make their way to the ring with their manager, Jim Cornette. This incarnation of the Midnight Express is Dennis Condrey and Bobby Eaton. But it didn't matter if you put Stan Lane in there or not. They all three, as a unit, never missed a beat. And were great tag team specialists, were great heels, and told tremendous stories in and out of the ring. A guy like Jim Cornette, who was a historian, very opinionated, but very knowledgeable about the history of wrestling, would come up with new ideas, new ways to go into maneuvers, new ways to go into spots. And I would have to say the captain of this particular team was Dennis Condrey. Dennis had already been in the business for a long time, and he was the guy who pretty much ruddered the ship while the match was going on inside the ring. For both Robert and Ricky, as well as Bobby and Jim, they'll all tell you that it was Dennis Condrey who made this thing actually, he's the one who turned the key and kept it going where it needed to go during this match, and during all the matches actually. Dennis was very knowledgeable and highly respected even prior to his time of teaming with Bobby and becoming the Midnight Express. Once again, if you look at this picture, the heels come to the ring wearing robes, looking professional. Cornette dressed in a suit and tie, or actually red pants, white shirt, baby blue blazer. If that doesn't scream, "I want to kill you," I don't know what does. And, of course, Boyd Pierce is the ring announcer in his gold lamé suit. And I believe there were a lot of ring announcers and a lot of gimmicks back then just by virtue of the fact that professional wrestling has always been full of colorful characters, colorful gimmicks. And this tag team rivalry captured the imaginations of people who were used to big, bad, burly guys who would come to the ring and just beat the hell out of each other. And it proved when Bill Watts made a trip to Memphis, Tennessee, to talk to Jerry Jarrett about what he needed to do to change his territory. And Jarrett and Lawler both came down to Louisiana, looked around, and said, "Hey, maybe you need to put some young talent in here and change the dynamic of your crowd, change the dynamic of your audience." And when the Rock and Roll showed up, they got a lot more of the younger crowd, the teenagers. Wrestling was starting to become hip down in Louisiana and a little more hip in Texas. And look at the crowd here again. Houston Wrestling had always had some of the greatest performers in the business. But this was new. This was a new dynamic, and it showed in the crowds. It showed in the new audience that was coming to see this. And a lot of it, in fact, the majority of it, was thanks to the Midnight Express and Rock and Roll Express. Dennis Condrey, I have to give praise to for being around so long and then taking advantage of his opportunity with the Midnight Express, Cornette and Bobby, to create a new career path for him. The referee is a guy named Ronnie West, who's been around forever, Jim Barnett's right-hand man, and at this time, he was Bill Dundee's right-hand man as the booker. The booker was Bill Dundee back then. And he brought both Jimmy, Bobby, and Dennis, along with Ricky and Robert, to Mid-South. And they created this rivalry. It was they matched up so great together. And Ronnie West, as a referee in this match, you'll see, he works well with these guys. He's from Cleveland, Tennessee originally, and knew how to work with all involved in this match. Boyd Pierce was a gimmick in himself, and a lot of fun to be around too. But this is one of those fun matches you watch. Now watch what happens right at the beginning here, because this is interesting. A tag team doesn't always follow through with, but watch how it works. It's a subtle thing. Dennis and Bobby are going to give a high five and get ready for the match. Ready? Here you go. Double high five. So Robert's going to turn to Ricky and double high five. And that's just pretty much throwing it in Bobby's face. So Bobby says, here you go, Dennis, one more time. And the subtleties again. Robert turns around and boom. And the red upsets Bobby. The fans are getting with it now. They understand what's going on. One more time. A single high five. And Robert's going to mimic that back. Bam. Simple subtleties. And you haven't even had to lock up yet. You're telling that story. That's what it is. And Cornette, again, I think, has to be one of the top five greatest managers of all time. Everybody puts Heenan on the number one, so that's why I'm going to say he's number one, although I would argue that. Great lockup, great intensity right from the beginning. And the first move pretty much tells the story, too. So rock and roll pushing off Bobby Eaton. This is very important in the story, too. Eaton just suggesting that Robert pulled his hair is enough to get the ball rolling on this. So, again, no need to rush. These guys have been fighting all over the territory, all over the place, and they have time to tell their story. So Bobby actually did pull Robert's hair to get him back in the corner, and same thing. Notice Ronnie West. He's doing the traffic cop thing, and he's getting involved in the match right off the bat. Working pretty hard already. Jim Cornette has a stormy and a storied career, but at this time he was young in his wrestling career. This is the first big break, pretty much for all these guys, I would think. And really getting their name out there. And here's a nice top wrist lock. Watch this move by both heels. There you go. Dennis now is pulling Robert Gibson's hair to pretty much set the pace, set the story, and the referee. Now, for 1984, this could be done. And in Houston, Texas, this could be done. The referee getting over a little bit, having fun. All five of these guys are having a great time in the ring, and it shows. The referee, no, we don't want to put over the referee, but it fits right here. It fits with all four of these guys, all five of these guys, actually, to let the referee get over a little bit and have a good time. And you can do this when everybody knows what to do and where to be. Ronnie West knew how to do it. Ronnie West knew when to sell it, when to not overdo it. Respect the heels. Now he's stepping back a little bit. And he's antagonizing, but at the same time, this is what it was back then. Some of these other shows, some of these live events, if you had people who knew how to work it, it could get over. But I don't know. And there you go. There's Robert Gibson, the babyface, pulling the heel's hair. It's a story. The referee was getting the heel back. The heel pulled the hair. This is how it all comes into play. The heel does something. The babyface gets even for it. And the fans are happy. Ricky kept the referee that time. And that no good Robert Gibson, babyface, was just giving the heel back his own medicine. That's the way the fans liked it back then. And Ricky Morton's doing the same thing. But I think he's going to pay for that pretty soon. And Cornette is doing his job as a manager here, guys. But everything is paced. Everything means something. They're not wasting any motion. They're not wasting any movement. Watch how they set this spot up here. With Ricky, Dennis is trying to make the tag. Ricky's kicking the hand. I think by the third time, that's going to make Bobby a little bit upset. Watch this spot here. Head scissor. Take both guys over. Hip toss. Nail both the heels. Everybody took their time and fed into that spot. Now they can rest. Not rest, but now they can take their time. Look at Bobby. Just leaning on the rail. Dennis is selling up slow. Just trying to regroup. Nobody's overdoing anything. But the crowd is going crazy. Again, it's not how much you do. It's how you do what you do. Ricky timed the hip toss. He timed the punches. Robert came in and joined him. Now they need to get back down to wrestling. The referee's got control. No more playing around. He's saying, let's go. And again, simple move. Go for a punch. The babyface hooks it. Dennis doesn't oversell it. But he registers. Headlock, drop down, a simple move. The babyface had the referee. You nail that no good, rotten, legal babyface with Cornette's racket. And now we've got some heat. So they're going to work over the body part. They're going to work over his back. And Ricky's going to sell. And again, please notice that he's selling up. He's selling with his face up, his body up. Everything the heels do means something. So running Ricky's back into Bobby's knee and working the back over. Ricky's trying to make that tag. The heels can do everything they can to cut him off. Good knee drop. Everybody's selling. Everybody's where they need to be. The heels always do something after the tag. Make sure they set the baby face up. Simple boot. Ricky's always trying to go for the tag. Except when he's down. So watch again when Ricky registers his face, registers his head up, and Dennis takes advantage in the corner with just one punch, one shot, brings him out, gives him one more shot. Kick, and Bobby comes in to take over. Nobody is rushing. Keeping Ricky alive with two shots, rake of the eyes, and throw him outside over the top rope, which at this time in Mid-South Wrestling, over the top rope was a disqualification. So you had to know your rules. The people had to know the rules. Look at the referee. Once again, Ronnie West. Sometimes that works. Sometimes it doesn't. It all depends on who's doing it the right way and not. And during this time frame, it made sense. And the referee was working with everybody. So, he's got to tell Robert he didn't see it. They say they went through the rope. So, he's got to tell the baby face get in your corner, which allows the heel to do the same thing on the other side. Simple, simple heat back then, because everyone knew the rules. You cannot throw your opponent over the top rope. Simple use of the chair one time. You don't want to do it 5 or 10 times in a row. It loses its effect. But Ricky knows how to sell it. He's taking his time. The people are into it because they understand the history behind both teams. They understand the history with Jim Cornette, and Cornette had a lot of heat back then. Hell, he has a lot of heat today, too. But watch how Dennis Condrey works this hammerlock. He just changes his position, changes his body language. He's working it. He's not just putting the hold on. He's putting it on and adding his body language to it, adding his perception to it, his charisma. Watch this. Just a simple trick. The simplest moves. What separates these guys from everybody else? His body language. Look at Ricky Morton's facials. Look at himself. Look at their attitude when they go to the ring. They're thinking, shoot, but working. Ricky's face says it all. Bobby's face says it all. He's putting the pressure on. Ricky's feeling the pressure. Trying to tag, but he can't. So he's going to throw an elbow. Nice move by the heels. Ricky made that leapfrog and ran right into Dennis's clothesline. They go right back to the heat. Again, all leading towards Robert's comeback. The heels are keeping their babyface in their corner, and Dennis is doing something different than he did last time. Instead of just grabbing that hammerlock, he's dropping those knees to try and make Ricky give up even more. Now, a simple switch behind the referee's back doesn't mean anything in the sense that the people saw it, but the referee didn't. So he's going to let this one go. And it pretty much makes up for the earlier in the fact when he was helping the Rock and Roll Express to an extent. And playing in their favor, more or less. So one heel infraction I don't think matters. But the body language, look at the facials again. Keeping the head up. This is important. Not a lot of people remember this or think about it. But you got to keep your head up to show the pain. Tell the story. Great spot. Babyface counter into a big power slam. Not much else you can do about it except pay the price. So the heels are in control, and they're working it with a wrestling hold. They're not punching and kicking, although he's kicking the arm now, but they're really working the arm over in hopes of wearing the babyface down. As babyface started to fight back, again, Bobby went back, tagged, and leg tripped the guy before he could get to his corner. Selling everything being done. And Dennis goes right back to the arm after doing a few moves and wearing Ricky down even more. So Ricky's beat down. He's not dead. He keeps selling. He's working that body language, working the facials. Dennis is working on keeping him away. Pretty close to the corner, and in comes Eaton to make sure Robert doesn't make the tag. The referee's got to keep that babyface out while his partner gets a living hell beat out of him. All it took was one knee, and Ricky sold up. Dennis stomped his hand again. And Ricky's feeling all the effects. from these guys. He's trying to fight out. Watch this move. You don't see this in a while. A Beal back to the corner, into the tag. Here comes Robert for the legal hot tag. He's going to knock each guy on their butt. Each guy is going to feed, take the bump. Here we go into a finish. Robert gets dumped over the top rope after the low bridge by Bobby Eaton pulled that top rope down. Looks like the Rock and Roll Express could be in a lot more trouble. Ricky's already been selling. Gets posted. And the Midnight Express have this sewn up so it looks. And Bobby and Dennis have a chain. Simple cross body. End of the match. The Rock and Roll Express pin the heels. But on the mat, there's a chain. And now here we go. Here's the Southern style wrestling. The heels brought the chain in the ring. They left it in the middle of the ring. And now they're trying to say that the baby faces brought that chain in. And the referee is lifting it up, showing everyone, telling that story. Simple story. Some people say it's ad nauseum. But that's the way things were done back then. It was simple. It was basic. And all you had to do was tell that story by leaving a chain in the middle of the ring, the referee holding it up, and trying to convey the fact that it was those bad guys or the good guys that brought the chain in. And the fans are on their feet. The Rock and Roll Express are still the champions. The heels finally going to get their hands on the referee. Or are they? Because the Rock and Roll Express comes back in the ring to defend his honor. I can't explain the crowd feeling back then or the match feeling back then. It was a different era, a different time. But the principle still holds true today, in my opinion. If you have an authentic story, people that the fans care about, you can still get this type of reaction. It's all in body language. It's in timing. It's in feeling. What makes you special? What makes you stand out? That's what you have to think about. And that's what these guys knew, and that's what they thought about every time they stepped in the ring. Authenticity, realistic. Next time on X-Ray, we're going to have another exciting match, and I hope you join us.